It was a chilly day, and under a tree, in front of a puddle, sat Ken. Ken had an uneasy feeling in his chest. For days the winds had blown, whining and rushing outside their house. They had died down now, and the air was as still as the blue sky was clear. The restlessness of the winds had gotten a hold inside of him. The restlessness blew his thoughts back and forth, and all their destinations seemed bland and dreary. He threw a rock into the puddle and watched without much enthusiasm as the waves rippled outwards. Tomorrow was Monday. The boredom of Mondays almost paralyzed him already the day before. It was mainly that fact they had to do stuff just when the bell rang, and then just sit. And then just when you got into the game, the bell rang again, and again, and again, and again. He remembered his last lesson last week, but his memories were all mixed up with the dreams he was dreaming during that lesson. This is what he remembered. The lesson had begun, and he was labeling predicates and subjects and objects, all of them in English. He had done this for some while when a blue person showed up beside him. Kevin tilted his head slightly, and he noticed that the newcomer standing by his bench wasn't really standing at all, but actually was hovering with his bare feet about a decimeter above the ground. "What are you doing?" the blue person asked. "You're a daydream," Kevin had answered. "Bugger off." "Well, that's just impolite," the daydream had retorted. Ken kept doing his labeling of verbs, subjects, and objects a while, and then finally said what he was doing. "Can I try?" asked the daydream. "I guess," said Ken, and leaned back. So the daydream tried to do Ken's homework for a while, but it didn't go so well, because the daydream kept drawing oddly shaped flowers and shapes instead of letters. Although it really tried. Ken's teacher was quite cross when she came over to see what Ken had done. "Sorry," said the daydream, turning a bit purple with embarrassment. Ken smiled a wry smile. "That's okay," he said. "But you really have to go now, or I'll get in real trouble." And the blue person vanished. The rest of the day, Ken had labeled objects and added numbers and dotted I's and J's just as he should. A little girl of about orangish-yellow color on her trench coat waddled up the puddle. Now that Ken was done thinking about his last lesson. "Hello," she said. "Hi," said Ken, tilting his head to the side to examine the newcomer. She looked at him in about the same way, tilting her head, and she gave him a pine cone. "I found lots of them," she said, spreading her arms wide, "so you can have it." "Of course there are lots of them. We're in a pine forest," Ken said. "You're supposed to say thank you." Ken nodded. "Thank you." The girl grinned and said expectantly, "Do you want more?" "Sure," Ken said. The girl raced back and forth, filling Ken's pockets and gloves and extra pockets and hats with as many pine cones as was possibly possible. "That's enough," said Ken. "I really don't need more." "You're supposed to say thank you," said the girl. "Thank you," said Ken. The girl beamed. "Do you want more? Look, I couldn't possibly carry any more." The girl nodded understandingly. "That's okay." She waved and left. Ken watched the orange-yellow trench coat dart away through the trees, getting a bit smaller as it got further away. It was funny how things got smaller further away. Ken figured it was so you could fit more things in the eyes to look at. If everything was as big as it was up close, then you'd never see anything. Ken decided that they must only look smaller, actually. Otherwise, Ken would get smaller as soon as he walked away from someone looking at him, and that did not seem to make sense. Ken balanced all his present pine cones all the way home. He borrowed some rubber boots to store them all in, had two big glasses of milk, and flopped down on the sofa on his belly, his left leg oscillating in periods between the sofa and the floor. I'm home, he sang out the world and the wood floor. Did you take your shoes off, honey? His mom called. At least twice, answered Ken. Was one of them now? Sure was, answered Ken happily. Well, that's just brilliant. There's a sandwich on the table for you. Okay, thank you, Mom, sang Ken. All seemed well and good as Ken was sitting on the sofa, laying on the sofa even, when the rubber boots, the pine cones had started plodding. An insidious smell of sap could be smelled from the boots, which neither Ken nor his mother noticed. Ken was munching much too happily on his sandwich in the kitchen to think about deviant conifers. As for his mother, she had forgotten the hard pine cone nights she had experienced as a child in Belfast, had forgotten totally the fear of walking alone through a dark pine forest oozing of sap, never knowing when the cones would start whizzing around your head. A knock on the door, a loud, loud knock, woke Ken from his daydreaming. When he opened the door, the girl with the orange-yellow trench coat was outside. Her face was scratched and bruised and big round tears running down her cheeks. Ken stood back so she could come in. He closed the door behind her. Ken handed her a towel for the tears. Thanks, she said. You want more? Ken asked. The little girl laughed between the sniffles. After you left, I kept picking pine cones, and I placed them all in a large pile. It had gotten dark without me noticing, and I looked up and I saw the huge pine tree swaying back and forth. And chills ran through me. The trees seemed to be dancing above me, back and forth, back and forth, and then they started falling. It was like hail, but just lots of pine cones. They came all at once, and just as I was looking up, before I knew it was happening, it hit me square on the nose and just barely missed my eye. So they smashed me all the way until I was out of the forest, and I remembered I'd given you all of those pine cones, and I thought I'd better come check that you were okay. Thanks, said Ken. I'm fine. I put all the pine cones in rubber boots when I came home. You mean those boots? The girl whose name was Ella asked. And as Ken looked where she pointed, he saw the boots. They seemed to be humming for some reason. And little pops on the inside made Ken think of popcorn in a pop. Uh-oh, said Ken. Ken and the little girl jumped behind the sofa, peering from time to time out towards the mystically popping rubber boots. Why did you give me weird pine cones? Hissed Ken. I didn't know they were weird. They looked just like ordinary pine cones. Ken thought for a while, then he snapped his fingers. I know how to fix this, he said, grinning broadly. The little girl looked at him wide-eyed. Daydream, Ken said. How do we do that? It's easy, just watch me. Ken lay down and put his arms behind his head and fixed his gaze far away. Ella looked at him and then did the same thing opposite him so that their socks touched. What should I daydream about? Well, really anything, Ken said. But I'm going to daydream about blue people that can help us. If you want to daydream about ice cream that we can eat, that would be amazing. You got it, Ella said, and immediately started daydreaming about mint with chocolate chip mountains that they could hike in. Wow, that's amazing, Ken said when he looked over. Thanks, how is the blue guy help coming? Here he is. Hello there, said the blue daydream, and hovered over to Ella. Ella was a bit scared by the blue creature, on account of the warts it had all along its nose. But Ken assured her they were all filled with cotton candy in case the daydream would get hungry. Hearing that, she shyly said, hi, and waved. Now, said Ken, in a businesslike manner, what can you tell us about the pine cones? The Daydream nodded, as it floated carefully upwards to observe the popping boots. They were still popping, but the pops were less frequent now, like popcorn that is almost done. I think, said the Daydream, that you picked pine cones in just the wrong day. You see, everything is alive, but usually pine cones are very still. But sometimes each year, and one of them is just as summer seriously turns to fall, and the winds achieve a certain balance of moisture and chill, and the forests are just that dash more dark, the pine cones are different than usual. Actually, the entire forest is alive. The aliveness is much closer to the surface this day. You can feel it if you're walking in the forest sometimes this time of year. But just sometimes it kind of pops through the surface, and then you get this. And when the Daydream said this, he popped over the boots, and with a deft flick of his wrist, Emmett jumped backwards, plucked something out of the boot, and dove down again behind the sofa. As he carefully opened his hand, there was a soft, dark yellow glow in it, like the color from an old kerosene lamp. And it came from a small figure, hedgehog-like and pinecone-like in appearance, but oozing with light and with eyes all around the upper edge of its pinecone nest and legs all around the nether parts of its pinecone nest. He also had a mouth. So Ella offered it some of the ice cream from her mint chocolate ice cream mountain. It tested this and then dove happily in and out of the ice cream mountain. It smiled broadly at them. The Daydream nodded. This is good. These creatures can be really dangerous, but they seem to like ice cream. The boots had stopped popping. Quick, the Daydream said. We only have a few minutes before they settle. We have to get them back to the forest. Ken got so scared he froze and couldn't think of a thing. But luckily for him, Ella had only gotten started with her daydreaming. She was imagining a bobsleigh track filled with ice cream pots for prizes so that you had to catch as you bobsleighed down. Oh. And the sled was propelled by fireworks. And she just kept thinking and thinking as hard as she could, and it was a wonder that her brain didn't start, like, just like smoking. It was propelled by fireworks, and just as the boots were bulging out so much that Ken was sure they would explode, Ella grinned and trotted over the door and opened it. Sure enough, there was the bobsleigh track. If you don't know what bobsleigh track is, like a really, really, really fast sled. Pretty dangerous. Beautifully lit from below, so that the ice was lightly blue tinted. And just as the boots exploded, Ella daydreamed of mountains of cream and ice cream glittering in a large fluff at the beginning of the track. Happily, the pinecone people jumped towards it and flew off, propelled by fireworks from Ella's daydream, straight through the fluff, munching on their way and catching all the ice creams they could as the track winded and looped and curved its way back towards the forest. Of course, some pine cones couldn't keep their balance and flew off the track and ran around for a while in their neighborhood, scaring pets and kids. Most of all of the hundreds of pine cone people followed the slide all the way home to their forest. Ken scrambled out from behind the sofa and over to Ella, put his hand on Ella's shoulder. That was the best daydreaming I've seen in ages, he said. Ella smiled happily. Then they both realized how tired they were. They said goodbye, and for the second time that day, Ken watched the orangish-yellow trench coat get smaller for every streetlight it passed along the street, until finally Ella turned a corner to her own street and was out of view. Ken closed the door. His mother would have questions about the exploded boots for sure, but that was a later problem. Ken could barely keep his eyes open as he made his way over to the sofa. In a few moments, he was asleep. The next day in school, his teachers were really impressed at how sharp and focused Ken was, and just as he was about to go home, when almost all the other kids had already gone, his homeroom teacher said to him, "You didn't daydream at all much today. Good work. Daydreaming never did anyone much good." Ken looked at her and smiled. She had no idea what she was talking about, but Ken liked her too much to say so. He smiled and waved bye to her. It was already getting dark outside as he walked home. The light from the moon and the evening star was so bright it was like two beams meeting and an oval platform of moon and star shining where they intersected. A blue man was standing on the platform, singing in a black microphone out towards the grove of trees that was calm and kindly again. The end.